really great top of the evening to all of you saints out there, adopted sons of the Most High God, which we are, and in this dispensation of the revealed sacred secret, it's tremendous what we've been given. Tremendous to have this life in the flesh that we can understand such things. We've been given the Word of God. It's been protected for hundreds of years from the evil one and his destructive ways. And we should all, if we can, realize the many blessings that the Lord has given us. Many, many, many blessings, and many, many he has. And tonight we're going to continue our series in Romans. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 15 and a little into, or 14, pardon me, Romans chapter 14 and a little bit into chapter 15 we're going to read. And initially it looks like it's more or less a practical section of the book of Romans, but there are many excellent truths and many excellent truths of the Lord to be gleaned out of what we read here. I'm going to break the message of Romans 14 up into at least two messages, so there's going to be another message on Romans 14 coming up when I speak again. We should go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the saints that are here, all the faithful in Christ Jesus of the dispensation of the mystery that you have chosen before the overthrow of the world, that they should walk in the good works that you have for them to walk in, that you preordained before the overthrow of the world. Things are tremendous and excellent. We know that a lot of people, a lot of us are hurting in one way or another, whether it be physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, and we pray that these sufferings might work out to your honor and glory, and that they might bring honor and glory to you, and that, if nothing else, we can seek after our spiritual health, which is far more important than anything in the flesh. And we pray that we might have understanding of your scriptures. We pray that we might have wisdom in how to live out our lives here according to your will. And we pray that we might understand our dear Heavenly Father's will. Because in Ephesians, he tells us that through the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, that he would have us understand what his very will and counsels are. We pray for all things unspoken and all the blessings that we have, all the trials that we have, and we pray that all of us might fulfill our walk in order that we might gain all the rewards in the super heavenlies, in the eternity to come, which are reality, the things that aren't seen. The things that are seen are made by the powers that are unseen, and we know this. And we pray for your blessing tonight upon the reading of the scriptures, that it might be edifying to all those who have come by this evening. And we pray for the speaker's mind and heart, that as all of us speakers truly, truly do believe that it would be of the Lord and not of us at all. Because what are we anyway? We are but weak flesh, and we are chosen vessels of the Lord through weakness, so that his power, so that the power and glory might be of him. In the name of Christ our Lord we pray, amen. So let's get on to the reading of Romans chapter 14, and we're going to read a bit into chapter 15. We note that Romans is an Acts period epistle that always should be remembered. Every time we study a book of the New Testament, we should understand where its place is in the unfolding plan of the ages. That's very important. That's what the scriptures term the rightly cutting as to the appropriate knowledge of each book. And so, we're recording this here. And so we should understand that the book of Romans was written towards the end of Acts, written by the Apostle Paul, one of his 14 books written during Acts. We know that Israel was primary in the book of Romans, and that the middle wall in type still existed, that Israel was first as a nation, and in order to come to their blessings, you had to come through them. That was still in order during the book of Romans, and so we should always remember that as we're reading the book of Romans. That'll take a lot of confusion out of what we understand in the book of Romans. That's not to say that things in the book of Romans are not for us. Certainly a lot of great principles, and a couple of them which we're going to study tonight are for us, but this book is definitely not directly to us. You should understand that. There's a lot of confusion in the so-called Christian world, in the world. That, no doubt in my mind, is a working of the evil one. His satisfaction would be in the work concerning the Scriptures highly, and this truth of God revealed through His beautiful Word. And that's, no doubt in my mind, that's where the evil one and his minions would do his greatest damage, if you will. Now to Romans 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive, yes, but not to the doubt, to doubting disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not. And let not him that eats not, and let not him which eats not judge him that eats, for God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, yes, he shall be bold enough, for God is able to stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord, and he that regards not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks, and he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account to himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man puts a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. But if any brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things served Christ. For he that in these things serves Christ and is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify one another. For meat destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles or is offended. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he allows. And he that doubles is damned if he eats, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Chapter 15. We then that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Hallelujah. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And I'm going to stop there. Probably one really excellent heading for this portion of Scripture would be, I believe this, receiving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, as Christ has received us to the glory of God, would be really fitting to this passage of Scriptures. And there's this passage of Scriptures tonight, but what I want to concentrate tonight on is I want to concentrate on the receiving, because we have receiving of a weaker brother in the initial Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. And then at the end of this portion, we note that we're supposed to receive one another as Christ also received us. Or actually, the Godhead has received us through faith. So, there's a principle here. And also, we'll notice through the Koine Greek tonight that our flesh can be involved in this receiving and in what's known as doubtful disputations. And we're going to look at what that exactly means. But there's a principle here that is an excellent and beautiful, beautiful principle. And it certainly is a principle of God that we can live with in our hearts. There's no doubt about it. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit is pointing out here. As far as brothers and sisters in Christ, whether you be strong in the faith or weak in the faith, if you have the faith of Christ Jesus, and that is specific, by the way, we'll talk about that next week, because I believe that there are scriptures that talk to us about people that have to admonish them. We are not supposed to receive in the manner that we're going to learn tonight. Okay, there's a receiving of a brother and sister that are true believers, whether they're weak or strong. And then there are a not receiving of people that are contentious and really don't understand the doctrine of Christ and choose to battle against it. And that's another part of this portion of Scriptures that we'll probably get to next time. Well, initially we're going to look at the word in the Koine Greek to receive. And this Koine Greek form is proslambano, and it's always used in the middle voice. And what is the middle voice? The middle voice is when the subject is doing something to edify his self. And what proslambano means in the Koine, it means to receive unto oneself personally. And what I want you to notice here is the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is instructing these Roman believers on each other in the faith, whether they be weak or strong. This is really important. Because if we don't abide by this godly principle, our flesh gets in the way. And we'll see this, like I said. Aslambano, to take along with oneself, to grant access to one's heart, to invite one into one's own household with kindness. That's the pras lambano, and I'm going to go over some scriptures in which pras lambano is found, so you get a really good taste of the fact of what this receiving is to be in a, for brothers and sisters that are ones of true faith. This is really important, and it's really, it's a beautiful thing. Let's turn to Romans 5. Romans 5. I'm going to read four or five scriptures where pras lambano is found, and I just explained to you what its true meaning was. To grant somebody access to your own heart, to invite them into your home with kindness, is the thrust of the word. Romans 5, 8 through 11. And pardon me for a second, I'm looking into my correctly arranged scriptures and it's screwing me up because I'm used to the incorrectly arranged King James Version. All right, Romans 5, 8 through 11. But God commends His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received. We have been received. We have received the atonement. We have pras lambano, the atonement, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have received the atonement through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we accept, we have received this atoning work of our Lord and God with the fact of how we receive it in our hearts and how we open our hearts up with kindness to the Almighty God to receive this atonement by our Lord. Pras lambano, that's what happens to your heart when you realize the atoning work of Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 14 through 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, cross tunnel, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So, we have received not the spirit of a slave, again, to be in fear, but we have received, we have praslambano, the spirit of adoption, and this, it's this praslambano, it's this receiving in your heart that makes you well up with joy, and it makes you realize that our God is working in us, in our hearts, and that we have abundant joy in understanding His Word, in understanding what He, through His Son, has for us, are receiving of the adoption. And you know, this adoption was an adoption during the Acts period. But in Ephesians 1, we have our particular adoption, whereof we were adopted, preordained, before the overthrow of the world. This is fantastic. It's a beautiful thing, and this is what the Lord wants in our hearts. Acts 18, 24 through 28. An example is an example of a couple of Christian people that ran across a zealous believer that was a babe in Christ. And it was an example. It's an example of how they received him and how they instructed him. A beautiful example of proslambano. Acts 18:24, pardon me, through 28. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John the Baptist. But you know, just get the gist of this man. He was zealous for the Lord. He loved the Lord. He would give his life for the Lord. He stood for the Lord. He was an eloquent man for the Lord. He was giving his all for the Lord. And he began, in verse 29, to speak boldly in the synagogues, whom when Sylla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They took him. They received him. Pras elambanta, which is just a different form. They received him. It was extremely, they took him and they taught him the way of God more perfectly. More in tune with more instruction, further truth. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much when he had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So Aquila and Priscilla were put in a spot by our God where they had to receive Apollos, being a babe in Christ, and to instruct him further in the truth. And this was very important in the way they handled Apollos, in their mindset, in their heart. It was very important to the working of God in this zealous man, and how they treated him. And this is a very important lesson to all of us. That's what I'm pointing out tonight. How you receive believers in Christ appropriately, proslambano. Turn to Philemon, please. The book of Philemon. verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Paul is instructing Philemon about receive him, how to proslambano, this new saint of the Lord, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, receive him like you're receiving me, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the good message. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou should receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved. Take a gander at what's happening here. A slave, a runaway slave, now Paul instructs the master to receive this man of God back, not as a servant, but a brother. So how should he be receiving him? Especially to me, but how much more to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him, proslambano, as myself. And the last scriptures, I think we all certainly at this point would have, being believers in the Most High God through His Son, would have certainly understanding of how to receive a brother or a sister in the Lord, whether strong or weak in the faith. Colossians 2:1-6. For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet in the spirit join, and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ, as ye have therefore received, proslambano, Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. If you have received the Lord in this manner, taught by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, it would give us understanding and strength right off the bat in how to walk what we've been given by the Lord. It's through a measure of godly love is what the principle is. And that's how we receive the Word of God and the truth of God. And that's how we receive brothers and sisters that are truly of the Lord. In Romans 14:3, if we can turn back to that, we find out that the Father and the Son of God have received the believer this way. And it's in the aorist tense. It's the Greek form pros elabeta. Romans 14:3. So you have a lot of receiving going on in Romans chapter 14. Romans 14:3, just to point out how the Lord receives believers. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not, and let not him which eats not judge him that eats, for God has received him. What is the judgment of mankind if God has proslambano, received a believer into his life eternal, is the point. Now, is there a negative to this? Yeah. And that's what the doubtful disputations are at the beginning of Romans 14. And this is what the Apostle Paul, one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul penned, through the Holy Spirit, I should say, Romans 14. Going back to Romans 14, Paul writes, him that is weak in the faith receive him, but not to doubtful disputations. And we'll find out what that means and why the Apostle Paul thought it very much of importance to direct these Roman believers. An interesting side note, getting back to how the Godhead receives believers in Romans 14:3, how the process, the receiving of a believer is to the Godhead. The Godhead receives those, you and I, formerly estranged from them. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit receives you and I, ones who were before estranged from them, and have united us to themselves. They receive us and they allow us to understand the thinking of their heart. And they invite us into their household with a kindness and a love, is the point of your God. They have united the believer to themselves through the work of the Son and the witness of the Holy Scriptures. Proslambano. Proslambano for us to give. Proslambano for us to accept from God. An interesting sidebar is Matthew 9. Let's turn to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. And I've got a few minutes here, maybe 15 or 20. I'm going to get into the doubtful disputations, instructing us on reason and reasonings, our thoughts from our flesh, and our instruction from the Holy Spirit. And if I don't, I'm just going to go on until I stop, and maybe this is going to take three messages. But I think, I believe so far, what we've learned is just as beautiful. It is, to those who know the Lord. Matthew 9, 10 through 13. And it came to pass as Jesus sat in meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, he said unto his disciples, why do you eat, your masters, with publicans? Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they sick. But go ye and learn what that's, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And what we have here is we have a beautiful principle of our God through the Son of God. We have the Pharisees that were the embodiment of religiosity of cunning craftiness, of not knowing their own law, of bilking people for their money, of living lavishly, and of judging through their own piety, not knowing to be something that they were nothing, thinking themselves to be whole and strong, they were weak and beggarly, and that they were so misguided that they didn't understand even the work of God in the Son right before their eyes. Think about it. This same principle is the principle that we're learning in Romans 14. It's a godly principle that should exist in all of us, in every one of us that faces encountering and speaking and receiving the man or daughter of the Lord. So what are, going back to Romans 14, what are these doubtful disputations? What's Paul talking about? And I have the Greek rendering of not to doubtful disputations. And it's meis diakrises dialogismon. And what that really means is this: not according to the judgment of your thoughts, or better, receive the believer that's weak in faith not according to your discriminatory reasonings of your mind. Reasonings. We should take a look at both the word for doubtful and the word for disputations and see where they lead us in the scriptures to gain wisdom. So we have reasonings, we have disputations, we have thoughts. Okay, and before, is reason bad? And are reasonings bad? And is judgment bad? Well, we're going to take a look at such things. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Reasoning or reason and discerning. Because the word reason in the scriptures is used many times in the good and godly sense. But the word reasonings is used in the evil sense. And we have to understand the difference. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12 to begin to show you the difference. And what I'm going to get into now is showing you the difference between two Greek forms. The first one is dialogismos, which would be that of reasonings. The second Greek form is dialegomai, which has to do with reason or discernment. And there's a difference. They're very close Greek forms. Dialogismos, dialegomai. Dialegomai, dialogismos. One has the connotation of evil attached to it. One, that's dialogismos. The other, dialegomai, has to do with reason, and that's contained in Romans 14. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11, and I'm not even going to get through what I have for tonight, but that's okay. I mean, we're in the Word of God, and there's no better place to be. And this is, to me, this is interesting. You could say, well, we don't care what's interesting to you, Mike. Well, that's okay. A little chuckle there. But it's, you know, it's reason. It's interesting to me. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to the other the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to the other faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits. And of course, these were the sign gifts given during the Acts period, but the word discerning here, or the form diolegomai, is used in a godly sense. That is, it was given to particular believers to discern what types of spirits they were dealing with. The discerning of spirits. The reasoning of what spirits they, that's a good and godly thing. Turn to Hebrews 5. So what am I doing here? What I'm pointing out is I'm pointing out that the scriptures deal with reason in the godly sense, and the scriptures deal with reasonings or thoughts of the human mind in the negative sense. That's what we're dealing with here. Turn to Hebrews 5, and it's an interesting study. Hebrews 5. Because many times, like our reasonable service, such things are spoken of in the scriptures. So certainly, our reasonable service can't be an evil service. Hebrews 5, if I can find it. Yeah, that doesn't matter. This is in, I'm looking in my new aligned scriptures that I can't even follow myself. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason, who by dialegomai, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, as far as one definition of the godly reasoning, the dialegomai would be a discerning and a judging, not through the intents of the human heart or mind, but that sort of discernment or reasoning that is governed by the holy principles and by the love of God. There's a difference. Going on, a further definition of the legomai of godly reason is to mingle thought with thoughts within one's own mind, to resolve in one's mind to have discourse or concourse with another believer, drawing truths from the scriptures to reason with. And this is what the Apostle Paul did. He reasoned out of the scriptures and not out of his own mind. Looking at the negative at what a believer could have to be doing and what possibly Paul was running into in these Roman believers, especially the ones who were strong in the faith, or who at least thought themselves to be strong in the faith. They were using what was called in the scriptures doubtful disputations. And these were judgments out of their own minds against weak believers. That's what they were. And the Greek form for that is dialogismus. And we can find an example of 7 through 48. And as we read that, I'm going to end with that because I'm running way out of time here. But looking at the negative Greek form for reasonings, dialogismus, it means this: the thinking of humans deliberating inwardly within themselves. Well, you could say, well, that sounds like the godly reason. But further, these reasoning are of those who think that they are wise. These such people are found in Romans 1. They are people that are judges with evil thoughts who follow reprehensible principles, as found in James 2. And they are intellectual rebels against the Most High God, as found in 2 Timothy 2. So you have a drastic contrast between what can be reasonings in one's mind as to how they receive believers, and reasonings in a godly sense, that is, and reasonings of those who decide to judge believers out of their own minds in the flesh, and they use ungodly principles in doing so because they are not using principles that are a product of the love of God or the scriptures. That is the powerful and definite point of what's happening here. And an example of that is Luke 9, 37 through 48. We'll find the Greek form dialogismus in verse 46. And then I'm going to end with that. And when we come back, next time I speak, we're going to be looking at how the Apostle Paul reasoned with the Jews in the synagogue. We're going to be looking at Acts 17, Acts 18, Acts 19, Acts 24. And so just to point out that the Apostle Paul reasoned, as our English Bibles are written, he reasoned with the non-believing Jews out of the scriptures many, many, many times in the book of Acts. Now, to Luke 9, 37 through 48. It's an example of human reasonings. And this is what the Apostle Paul was admonishing the Roman believers not to do with those who are weak in the faith, because they're doing it out of the power and out of the insolence of their own fleshly mind, because it made them feel good in themselves. Now, all of us are subject to such putrid thinking. I am. I do it. Thinking that I'm better than somebody. Thinking I'm something when I'm nothing. We all do it. We all have been there. So there's none of us without excuse. But we know better now. We know better. And this is the Spirit of Christ, by the way, of the Spirit of your Lord that we're learning about. Luke 9:37 through 48, and then I'll end and come back to this. Luke, oh boy, I was in Matthew. Yeah, boy, this scripture that I put in order really, really helps me. But I, you know, Luke 9, thank you, 37 through 48. Let's see, Matthew, Mark. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him, the Lord. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, I beg thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit takes him, and he suddenly cries out, and it tears him, that he foams again, and bruising him, hardly departs from him. A demonic presence. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son here. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tore him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But they wondered, everyone, at all things which Jesus did. He said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down in your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. So not only didn't they understand the words of the Son of God, but they began to ask themselves who amongst themselves would be greatest in the heavens, if you can imagine that. And I can, because we might be the same exact way. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me, and whosoever shall receive me receives him that sent me, and he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. So these reasonings that they had after they did not understand a message from the Son of God, they reasoned in their own minds. They had dialogismas in their own fleshly minds as to which one of them would be the greatest after they didn't even understand the words of the Son of God that was before them. So I think we have a really good object lesson here as far as our flesh is concerned. And so we're going to pick up, we didn't get much past Romans 14:1 or so, but we'll get back to that, and like I mentioned, it might take two or three lessons to get through what appears to be a very basic chapter in scriptures, but it's not. And so thank you for being with me tonight, and thanks for being my fellow believing sons of God of the Most High, which we are. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and these beautiful, blessed people that have come together. We've all come together under your word and under your power. And we're thankful for all the things that you've blessed us with, for we are truly a blessed people. And we pray that we might keep our minds and our hearts in your word, and that when we have reason, we reason out of your scriptures and not out of our own minds. And when we receive other believers, that we receive them out of a heart of love and out of a heart that is principled and guided by your very truth. This is what you would have us be like. We pray that we might be like the Son of God, who took upon him the form of a servant not to serve himself, but to serve the will of the Father. And again, we pray for all the, you know what we need. You're the same God that existed before this earth was created. You're the same God that gave the law to Moses. You're the same God that brought forth the Son of God. You're the same God that saved our scriptures so we could read them today, and you're the same God that chose us before the overthrow of the world, and we can have the same trust that all believers have had in you throughout the ages. We ask for all things through your Son, our Lord and Savior in Christ, and head. Amen.